Good morning. Great to see you this morning. Great opportunity for us to be together to honor the Lord, to worship, to think about God's message. And one of the great lessons that we have is to study the Old Testament. This month, we've been emphasizing compassion. And as we think about compassion, all of us need it from time to time. We all need to extend it from time to time. We go through life without thinking about just how powerful the compassion God has for us can be and is. Or we forget about how significant compassion in our lives toward other people can be. This morning as we study, I want us to think about Isaiah chapter 54. Tough time for Israel. I mean, a time like you and I cannot imagine. We may have someone in the room who served in combat in World War II or the Korean War or some other war that we've had since then. And you may see the devastation of war. But most of us have not seen that. I have a brother that flew 60-something missions over Vietnam. We were talking one day. And I said, I cannot feature it. I can see a movie. I can see everything that occurs. I can see those bombs that you drop. I see the devastating effect of them. But I can't imagine what it's like being in that situation. Israel can imagine. They can imagine the devastation of war in ways that you and I, at least most of us, could not imagine. But there are some people sitting in this room, I think, who lived in Henderson back in the early 50s when a tornado came through. And that tornado tore up a significant amount of property, took the lives of some very significant, well-loved people. It was a tough night, a tough time for Henderson, Tennessee. I'm holding in my hand a story about Greenwood, Kansas. This story says that in 2007, a Category 5 hurricane, or tornado, excuse me, swept through this little town of 1,500 people. What made this tornado different, this story says, is that the typical tornado is about 150 feet wide. This one was 1.7 miles wide. That was almost exactly the same width as this little town. This note says that three-story houses were just ripped off of their foundations. Cars, cows, trees were flung thousands of feet from where they were. After it passed, longtime residents came out of where they were hiding, and the destruction was so great that these longtime residents couldn't figure out where they were in the town because every landmark had been removed. So people started talking about leaving. There was nothing left. The mayor of the town started asking people if they were going to stay or leave. There were 70 businesses in this small town. He pulled them all together, and he had three whiteboards that were there. At the top of one of them, he put staying. At the top of another one, he put leaving, and at the top of another one, he put undecided. 66 of those businesses decided to stay. It took 4 years to rebuild this small town. But the story says the end of the story was better than the beginning because the town was in better shape at the end of 4 years than it was before that tornado came through. I'm telling that story for two reasons. Number one is to help us think about Israel. Israel had effectively, in one sense, been wiped off the map. No leadership left. Only the older people and the younger people, people who were not willing to lead, people who were not willing to take care of business in the way that business had been transacted, only those people were left. There was no danger of Israel rebuilding. Almost total desolation. It's in the middle of that kind of thinking that Isaiah wrote the words that you see before you. As you read those words, I want you to think about two things. First of all, I want you to think about Israel and just how devastated they were. But secondly, some of us need to think about our lives and how devastating life can be. You see, Israel was where they were because of choices they made. It wasn't some concept that God thought of just to hassle Israel or to get back at Israel. Israel had step by step walked away from God and His protection. And they paid a great price for it. Sometimes we take those step-by-step moves away from God, and we pay a great price for it. Our lives are devastated. If you young folks over here could just take a look at some of the lives of the people in this room, if you really had an open book so that you could see some of the lives of people in this room and the choices that they've made, and the difficulties that some of them face presently, but the difficulties that some of them have faced over a period of time, you would think more clearly about the choices that you make. You'd think more clearly about what is good and bad, what is fun and not fun, what will help me and what will not help me. I encourage you, even though you have only been living long enough to make a few poor choices, I want you to think about the devastating effects of families that are broken, of lives that are broken, of churches that are broken because people took steps away from God. I want you to think about you, but each of us needs to be thinking about that as we look at this story. For the mountains may depart, the hills be removed, God says, my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. It doesn't matter how bad things have been. It doesn't matter how bad things are today. What matters is, are you listening to what God says? Because you see, this passage is as true today as it was when Isaiah wrote these words hundreds of years ago. God has compassion on every one of us. And for just a few minutes, I want you to think about the power of compassion. And wow, there's so much to it. I'm only going to mention three concepts, three ideas that I see in Isaiah chapter 54 about how powerful God's compassion was for Israel, and every point that is made about Israel is made for each one of us as we share the message of God's Word. We have the power to grow. I don't care if you've been cut off at the ground. There are roots that are there and they can come up. I don't know how many times in my relationship with Jan Wilson Sharp that she's planted something and I've come along and zipped it off with a lawnmower, not paying attention, not thinking about what she's trying to grow. And sometimes we do that with our own lives. We just come and it's like a mower just buzzing life down because we don't think, we don't care, we don't. And you can fill in the blank with anything that fits your life. And we need to grow. Israel had been destroyed because they had not listened to God. The text tells us that they are destroyed. They are desolate. But that is going to change for Israel, God promises them. But it only changes for the people who listen to the message of God. It only changes for the people who would rise up and return to God, who would rise up, return to God, and rebuild their lives like those people in Greenwood, Kansas, rebuilt their town and moved it forward in a better way than it ever was before. So, are things going to change for you if you need that change? All of us do. some of us more than others and in different directions than others. Look at what verse 3 says. You will spread abroad to the right, to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and people will populate the cities. That is where we're going with that passage. You're going to be rebuilt. There's a nation coming back from where you look. Go back and read the book of the Lamentations and where the writer Jeremiah says, is it nothing to you, all of you that pass by this road leading by Jerusalem, where Jerusalem had been taken down stone by stone and torn all apart? Does it not matter to you? This is God's city. This is God's people. This is God's country. And now it's destined to destroy. Does it matter to you when you look around at your own life and the lives of people around you? Does it matter that people's lives have fallen apart and have become destroyed and desolate? You see, it does not have to be that way if we can make the choice to grow. Fear not. You will not be ashamed. You will not be confounded, confused. You will not be disgraced. Listen to this. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. God has talked about them by using a woman who was not in a position to have children and grow. Israel was not in a position for children to be born into that nation and for that nation to grow. But there's going to come a time when you don't have to be ashamed that your sin was so great your nation was destroyed. You're not going to have to be confused about what to do and where to go and how to live life and what to do, because you are going to be back with God and you will not be disgraced. Perhaps there's somebody in this room or somebody you know whose lives have been lived in such a way that today they're ashamed. They don't want to talk about it. They want to go there. They don't want to listen. They want things to be better and different. You may know somebody, or it may be you, confused about life and how life works. And you just consistently bring up the shame of the problems that you have brought on yourself to some degree, but perhaps that others have brought upon you as well. You don't have to go through that. Forget the shame of your past. Move forward. You've got the power to grow. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let's grow this thing back. Let's grow the nation back. So it is because of God's compassion that Israel had the power to grow. It's because of God's compassion today that you have the power to grow. It's because of God's compassion that you have the power to begin again. Louisa Fletcher said, I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and our heartaches could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be worn again. I wish we could come on it all unaware, like the hunter who finds a lost trail. And I wish the one whom our blindness had done the greatest injustice of all could be at the gates like an old friend that waits for the comrade he's the gladdest to hail. We would find all the things we intended to do, but forgot and remembered too late to do. Little praises unspoken, little promises broken, and all of the 1,001 little duties neglected that might have perfected the day for one less fortunate. It wouldn't be possible not to be kind in the land of beginning again. And the ones we misjudged and the ones whom we grudged their moments of victory here would find in the grasp of our loving hand clasp more than penitent lips could explain. For what had been the hardest we'd know had been best. And what seemed loss would be gain. For there isn't a sting that will not take wing when we faced it and laughed it away. And I think laughter is the most what we're after in the land of beginning again. So, I wish there were some wonderful place call the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes, all of our heartaches, and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat and never be put on again. Lots of people in our world would love to find the land of beginning again. God gives Israel that chance. But as he does, he gives you and me that same chance. Forget the shame of your youth. Verse 8 says, in overflowing anger, for a moment I hid my face from you. But with everlasting love, I will have compassion on you. Here is the power of compassion to permit Israel to grow into a nation again. That same power of compassion is alive today to let you and me grow into great spiritual people if we choose it. And then go back to verse 10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. There are always people sitting in any audience, it would be true in this one, whose hearts are troubled, whose lives have not gone the way that they wanted it to, and there are a lot of different reasons. Sometimes good reasons, sometimes reasons that you didn't choose, but sometimes it's reasons that we choose. But we are in turmoil emotionally, we're in turmoil spiritually, we're in turmoil every day as we live life and as we face one choice after another. God promises us his covenant of peace, the ability to settle your heart. Are we talking about removing all the problems? No, we're not. That'll never happen in this world. But we're talking about the ability to face whatever you're facing today, whatever sins in the past, whatever health issues, whatever family troubles, whatever you want to talk about. God promises us his steadfast love and his peace that will never be removed if we choose it. The power to begin again. What a great power the compassion of God offers us. But if you're going to begin again, you see, Israel couldn't begin again until there was a better foundation. These old people that could not function in the way that they once functioned, who could not carry on the work that is needed to carry on in a nation, and then the younger folks that need to be helped themselves, they could not be the foundation of the nation. But because of God's compassion, verse 11 says, he cares for the afflicted, the storm-tossed, and those not comforted. There were a lot of reasons in Israel for people to be afflicted and storm-tossed and not in a comfortable position in life. But if you turn to God, there's going to be some great foundational pieces in place. Stones set in antimony. It's a substance. Antimony is a substance that increases strength and hardness. We need that in our lives. We need strength to be able to do what we need to do, to face the temptations that we face. And God promises the people Israel that they are going to receive stones set in antimony. So when you build a house, when you build a temple, when you build, and you just keep naming whatever it is that needs to be built, you are going to be increased in strength and hardness so that you will have great foundations. Great pinnacles, those highest places, great gates, and great walls, and they're all going to be of precious stone. In righteousness, you will be established. That's the key to any foundation for life. Doing that which is right. Making the right choice. You young folks want your lives to go forward in a great way, choose that which is right. You start choosing things that are wrong, you're going to live the life that some of your parents, some of your grandparents, some of your friends, and some of their parents and grandparents and people that you can read about. You're going to live that kind of life, but in righteousness, in doing the right thing, making the right choices. And that goes to the oldest person in this room, whoever you are. We can be established when we choose what is right. And verse 14 says, you're going to be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. It doesn't mean you won't be oppressed, but you're not going to be afraid of whatever it is that comes when you do what is right. And you're going to be free from terror. Whatever it is that's come into your lives, you're not going to be afraid of what it's going to do to you, because that kind of terror is not going to come near you. Compassion is powerful. Look what it did for Israel. It can be the same for you. When you read Isaiah 54, God told them, it doesn't matter what kind of weapons are formed, not going to be able to succeed against you, because you're going to be established in righteousness. Verse 17 says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. I would say to you this morning, power of compassion, the power to grow, the power to begin again, the power to build a rich foundation. So I say to you, if you are in this room and you're faithful before God, continue to establish your life in righteousness. But I say to you, if you're in this room this morning and your life needs to be turned around toward the Lord, the land of beginning again spiritually is up to you, because the Lord promises you His steadfast love and His compassion this morning to forgive any problem that you have experienced or are experiencing even today. Maybe that you need to be baptized into Christ. If you've been taught that and you believe that and you know that, you should do it this morning. That is right. It will establish your life in righteousness. If you're a child of God, there is no doubt you know where you need to turn. And you know you need to pray that God will forgive you and bless you. And God's compassion is right here, waiting on you to come if you need, as we stand.
I will call for